Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sponsoring this week's episode of Made by Mamas is My First Years, a brand that we are so excited about. We love them here at Made by Mamas, and they're also the number one personalised baby brand.
They are, and I think it's safe to say that not only we love them, but they are loved by parents across the world. You can celebrate your little one's milestones and make memories this Christmas with gorgeous personalised gifts such as teddies, toys, blankets, clothing, and so much more.
Yeah, it really is the perfect gift. My favourite has got to be their soft, super snuggly dressing gown, which I got for Luna and then Kit ended up pinching it. Their red-nosed reindeer or penguin outfits, also so adorable.
Oh my gosh, so cute. And whether that's for a new arrival or a toddler, you can treat them to beautifully packaged gifts that are adored by customers, celebrities, and even royalty.
Ooh, who are you talking about, Georgia? I think she's got the intel. My First Years have also introduced their character collection. Whether your little one loves Peppa Pig, looking at you there, Gigi, or Paw Patrol and you, Kit, you can ignite their imagination with their favourite friend.
Save up to 50% off My First Year's best gifts this Black Friday and use our exclusive discount code MADE5 for an extra 5% off. That's MADE5 for an extra 5% off.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. I'm 40 now.
I know, I was just going to say, I don't think we actually fully wished you happy birthday on a podcast episode.
No, you also didn't call me all day on my birthday.
No, because I couldn't, because I had to lie to you. So I just had to blank you. So now you know.
You were like, I'm busy on Wednesday night. I've got some event to go to. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, well, she's going to call me and wish me happy birthday. None of my friends called me on my birthday because they were all in this big lie, the big surprise party that happened, which, by the way, was possibly one of my favourite moments ever. I was completely in the dark about it. Dozer pulled off what can only be described as, you know, the ultimate kind of birthday celebration. We had like a surprise dinner and then walked upstairs and then there was another 100 people in this bar.
It was amazing. And also it's so good that, I don't know, because when I got there, I thought she's going to see people. Like she's going to, you know, it's a small area, like yeah, where the party is. So you're going to see someone like through the window or, you know, just go outside. I don't know. I just thought you'd see, but you didn't. And it's amazing. And it was so fun.
No, it was absolutely brilliant. And Jesus Christ, my hangover on Thursday. People turning out on a rainy Wednesday night in London and everybody was messaging me the next day going, I'm dying. Yeah. I'm trying to do a call. I can't go to work. I was like, ha ha, welcome to my birthday celebrations.
Oh, did you have a really good time though?
Oh, mate. Thank you so much for coming. It was absolutely brilliant. And thanks to everyone listening who sent me lovely birthday messages as well. I read all of them and yeah, thank you. I felt the love.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
And you're back from gallivanting from your two nights away with your lover. Should we call him that?
Yeah, my lover. Oh my God, I've actually got something really embarrassing. I've actually got two embarrassing stories. I'll save one, but I'll tell you the most embarrassing one first.
Brilliant.
So we actually had three nights to ourselves. And my mum and dad had the kids for the first two nights and then James's parents for the last night. And so my mum and dad stayed at our house and James's mum and dad came to pick the kids up. And my mum realised she hadn't packed like an overnight bag for Gigi or anything. Now, yeah. Ages ago, a brand called Hanks sent us like a load of condoms, lube, like all this stuff.
Sent who?
Me, right?
What? And what?
Yeah, I know.
Why the filthy
what?
One.
Off brand.
Why didn't you get any condoms?
I know. Yeah. And it was in a canvas bag, like with the brand on it. And like it had a gift note in it, probably saying to Georgia, have fun or something. Anyway, this bag is on the back of my door. Okay.
And okay, easy access. My mum we all know
said,
why.
My mum said, oh, I couldn't find a bag to put Gigi's stuff in. So she was like, so I just put it in the bag that was on the back of your door. She was like, oh, there was some stuff in the bottom, but I don't know what it was. I just left it in there because James's mum and dad were rushing, wanting to leave. So my mum sent Gigi to stay at my in-law's house with, first off, a brand of condoms on the side of the bag, but also a bag filled with probably about 40 condoms and two bottles of lube.
Oh my God, no.
Oh God, don't. No, I actually feel sick. I feel sick now. And then we went yesterday to pick her up and nothing was mentioned at all.
Oh my
just
gosh.
Nothing.
So no one said anything. So it was real awkward silence. Just
nothing
like.
Nothing said. Just the bag handed over. Oh,
and it's the in-laws. Like when it's your own parents, you're kind of like, oh, it's a bit embarrassing, but whatever. But the in-laws.
Yeah, just not embarrassing. Like my mum thinks it's hilarious. My dad also found it really hilarious.
Well, we do too.
Nothing can be worse than that.
That's happened to me once where Dozer's dad was down with his stepmom. So not even his mum, his stepmom. And I was like, I tell you what, I've got this great new show that I think we should watch tonight. Dozer was playing rugby. He was at a game, whatever. And I was like, it's brilliant. It's called Black Mirror. I was like, this is one episode. It's supposed to be amazing. And he was like, oh, brilliant. So there we were, settling down, glass of wine, get into the episode 10 minutes in. And I was getting more and more embarrassed. I could hear my cheeks going like this. Because this saliva that my mouth was producing because I was so uncomfortable. Anyway, eventually I just stood up and went, anyone want tea? Chocolate biscuit?
Oh, don't. Actually, I just can't bear anything like that.
Me neither.
Don't.
Oh, God. Yeah, so seamlessly moving on from condom to our guest today. I know she'll love that seamless link. I have personally known this amazing lady for about, I think, in 10 years, because I worked with her brother and Take Me Out for a really, really, really long time when he was just a baby and so was I. And but I really love her as a mum now. And what I really rate is how honest she's been.
Yeah.
Because as we know, which is one of the reasons why we started Made by Mamas, there is all this kind of beautiful dance and masquerade of perfection. And actually, in reality, some days are really, really rubbish. And this lady isn't frightened to say it, is she?
She's definitely not. And I think it's really great when we have someone who really gets down to like the nitty gritty, like everyday goings on that happen when you have a newborn. Yeah. And like, because it's difficult, isn't it, sometimes when we have chats about it. For me, 3 years ago, I was in the newborn stage.
Yeah.
And you tend to forget all those little things that actually feel enormous to someone who's going through it right now. Mm. And it's quite nice to kind of reminisce and think how far you've come. But also, if there is anyone listening to this who is in that stage now, I think this chat will be really useful. Yeah. And something you can really relate to.
Yeah.
I absolutely love chatting.
Oh, and me. She was one of my favourite guests, actually. So let's get into it, because we need you guys to hear it. George, who are we chatting to today?
In case you haven't guessed from Zoe's clue, we are chatting to the one wonderful Jess Wright.
Cannot tell you how excited Georgia and I are to speak to this incredible lady today. To be honest with you, I don't think she needs an introduction because everybody knows who she is. Please welcome Jess Wright to the podcast.
Yay!
Hey, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Just kind of navigating that massively huge, amazing journey that is motherhood, as well as everything else and in between. But yes, I'm very well, thank you. I'm obviously doing the range with my first years, which has been
Yay!
Amazing. We did like a little photo shoot, me and Presley, and he just loved it. He was so sweet. And I just love the brand. They've got the most amazing products and really a reasonable price. And the best thing about them all is that you can personalize everything. So like, we've got furniture in his bedroom with his name on it, clothes, teddies, you name it, like they can personalize it. So yeah, it's just been so nice. And I think back like years ago when my friends had babies, I'd always go to their website.
Yeah.
Nine times out of the Same. Out of 10, get them the personalized robe.
Yes.
As their present when they were born. So, because then you know the name. Yeah. So it's been a website that I've kind of gone to since forever. So to be able to collab with them, and I just believe in the product so much. So yeah, it's been really fun. And the baby's just, yeah, he's been really good with it. He loves it.
I mean, congratulations. The last time I saw you, you know, you weren't even pregnant. We didn't, you know, you were talking to me. I remember having a conversation with you about your sort of fears around falling pregnant. There was a lot of questions going on in your mind, a lot of unanswered, you know, sort of fears and thoughts and all the rest of it. Now, just take us back to that period, because it wasn't that much of an easy journey to get pregnant with Presley, was it?
Well, that's the thing. It kind of was. If I'm honest, Zoe, you're the one who inspired me to freeze my embryos, because I saw your article. I think it was with Fabulous as well. Was it Fabulous?
Yeah.
And yeah, you were saying how you went through early menopause and your sister did, and you were both in your 30s. Immediately, I kind of knew there was like a risk of that, but I didn't know how much until I saw your article. So literally everything transpired from your article. Because my mum went through menopause at like 41 and her mum at like 42, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting married in a pandemic. It might not happen. We might have to keep pushing it back. And we don't want to kind of try for children yet, because we're, you know, we'd only been together a few years and everything else. So we wanted to get married first. And yeah, so we froze our embryos, which was... Wow. That was a bit of a journey, but actually a real success. We got five embryos in the freezer and everything else. But I still had in the back of my mind, like, oh, any day, you know, it could be early menopause for me, because my mum did, and, you know, it can be 5 years earlier, like you said. Mm. So I was just basically being precautious. And then when my wedding came up, we basically 3 weeks before the wedding, I just said to Will, I don't think we need to be careful anymore, because the likelihood of me falling pregnant, I'd never been pregnant before. The likelihood of me being pregnant is like so slim straight away. I don't even know if I can get pregnant. Like, you know, it's just, we might as well just not be careful. And then lo and behold, that one time that we tried, or like wasn't careful, if you like, I fell pregnant. So I was pregnant at my wedding.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Did you know?
I didn't have a clue.
Oh, no, wow.
So basically my periods are always like 2-3 days max. I've never had like a long period. So I came on my wedding day. I was like 2 days late, but that's quite common for me as well. I'm not always on like time for my period, it's always a couple of days late. And they're about, my cycle's like 35 days. So I came on my wedding day thinking it was just my period. And then 9 days later, I was still bleeding. So I emailed the gynecologist that we froze our embryos with. And I was like, I think I'm going into early menopause because of the stress of everything with the wedding and the pandemic. And I was rehearsing a tour up north up until 2 days before I had to leave for Mallorca for the wedding. And the wedding was in 3 days time. It was just like crazy times. And she was like, have you done a pregnancy test? And I was like, no, why would I? I'm bleeding. And she was like, because sometimes it can happen. So obviously I was like, oh my God, like surely not. Like we've only been like not been careful once, twice max probably. I mean, we barely had time before the wedding, you can imagine. So yeah, I basically went to the Mercadona in Mallorca because we were still there. It was just me and Will at this point. Everyone else had gone home. We were just having a bit of time on our own. And we got 2 pregnancy tests, but we went back to the pool. We had lunch around the pool and everything. And then a little while after, I was like, right, should I go do this test? Like really thinking there's not a chance in hell. I don't know why. I just thought there's no way. And then, yeah, I came out the loo, like literally the swimming pool toilets, like they were kind of hidden though. They weren't like on the pool. And I was like shaking, and Will was stood outside, and I was just like crying, and I was like, I'm pregnant. And then because I was bleeding, I was thinking like, is it a legit pregnancy? Like, you know, what's going on? So I was advised to go to like for a scan when I got home, which I did, but they couldn't find, it was too early to find the heartbeat. So basically I had to go back 3 times, 10 days in between each time.
Right.
And for 10 days between that, I had COVID as well. So I had COVID. I didn't know if I was pregnant and I couldn't tell anyone. So I'm like, we just got back from the wedding.
Happy honeymoon.
Gosh.
Yeah, I know, right?
What were those periods like? Because, you know, any waiting for any kind of medical or anything.
I didn't know what you meant then. Which periods are you talking about?
No, those periods of times, like those 10 days in between scans, like... it was what just was going torture, on in your like, mind?
It was torture because all I wanted to do was tell my mum and sister as well. But obviously, like, I just thought there's no point in me telling them because if I'm not, then I'd rather just like let it go and I'd tell them like another time, whatever. But I just, yeah. So I didn't, but I was just like at home, had COVID, and I was like, oh my God. Like, so I went back for the second scan and then they were like, we still can't find a heartbeat. And if I'm honest, it's not looking likely. So then I kind of felt like this pang of disappointment. And I was like, that means you clearly, you know, you want this baby, which I knew I would always want the baby, but it really like brought home how much I wanted to be pregnant at that point. And so I was like, oh, that's a shame, but I'll go back in 10 days anyway and check. And then I went back in 10 days. And when I walked into the room, I heard this baby scream in the corridor, and I'd never seen or heard a child there before. Like, it was not a maternity thing. It's just like a scanning ultrasound place, yeah, like for all different things. And I was like, oh my God, that's a sign. And then they found the heartbeat and here he is. Presley is very much here and screaming and shouting and laughing and doing everything else.
So were you on your own for that final scan?
Yeah, I was on my own because it was COVID restrictions. So I just got out of the... I got out of the hospital and I didn't ring Will. I went to a shop near me and I bought like these little frames and I asked for extra scan pictures. I mean, when I say scan pictures, it was like a bean. It was like that. Yeah. You couldn't even see it was a baby. And I put them into like two little frames and I called my mum and sister. I was like, oh, come around. I want to show you something from the wedding. And then I FaceTimed Will and I was like, held it up and I was like, we're having a baby. And yeah, it was really sweet. And then my mum and sister came round and I pretended I'd got them something to say thanks for like helping out with the wedding or whatever. And they opened it and they were like, my mum just screamed. And then Natalia was like, I knew it. You didn't drink the other night at the Indian. whatever it was. She was like, I knew it. But they were still both in complete shock. My mum was just crying. They were both crying. Yeah, it was crazy. Like the story, how Presley got here is pretty insane. But yeah, so we've got him and then we've also got the 5 embryos in the freezer and my husband's like, I think one's enough.
And I'm like, no, he's going, yeah, one's enough now. What was it going, so taking your mind back to when you went to have the embryos frozen, what did they sort of uncover about your fertility at that point? Did you have low AMH? What was going on?
Well, I remember messaging you, didn't I, Zoe? You probably were like being bombarded at the time by other women. But my AMH, I remember it being 2 point something. But yeah, so they did say to me that my fertility, it was wise for me to do it, if you like. Yeah. But I always say how much I wish that this was like spoken about more because girls just aren't aware. And it took me to read your article, Zoe, for it to really ring home and like, oh my God, I need to take action.
Had you always kind of discussed early menopause in your house? Because I think that's part of it. Like, people don't even talk about that.
No, we haven't at all.
Yeah, okay. So was it that made you ask your mum, like, what happened? Like, when did you go through the menopause?
I kind of knew that she did because she had my sister when she was 39 and then she went through menopause a couple of years later and I'd never forget it because she was all over the place. So we all remember when she went through the menopause. But it was only from that. But I mean, it's so weird because like if I had a daughter now, like growing up, I would just try and educate her so much on all of these things. And we are just not like we should be taught this at school.
100%.
Like, we should literally be like, there should be like a class just for women and girls. And every week or every 2 weeks, and they basically, it's all about periods, menopause. I don't know, like
sex,
hair. Yeah. Like whatever it might be, like because we grow up completely oblivious to it all, which might be quite nice because we believe that, you know, everything's a fairy tale and everything else, but actually it's not reality. And then you get up and it's like, boom, shit. Like when I was speaking to my doctor, Dr. Afana at IVF Matters in London, she was like, I know a girl that came to me recently and she's 30 and she said, oh, I want to freeze my embryos now because my eggs now, because I'm worried that I might go into early menopause because my mum did. And when they checked, she was already going into menopause. So it's like, why aren't we told about this stuff? Like,
do you know what, Jess?
It's so annoying.
That's my poor sister. That is the example that's been so close to home that, you know, had she had all the information or had it been spoken about at school more, or those conversations had they been had more frequently, she would have frozen her eggs in her 20s and could quite possibly be sitting here with a baby today. And that was completely taken away from her. And it's just the most devastating thing to see somebody go through. And for her, Luna looked at me the other night. She saw me changing changing my patch. And she was like, oh, mummy's changing her oestrogen patch. Like, we're having those conversations. Yeah. I'm like, you're six. And she was like, but what does that mean? And I was explaining to her about eggs and all that. And I suddenly thought, you're 6 years old. Maybe you're a little bit too early, but, you know, bit too young. But as soon as she's able to really compute and understand, we are 100% going to be going there with those chats, you know, yeah, no shying away from them, because that will be her 21st birthday present. I'll pay for her to go and have some of her eggs harvested so that if she has the choice. Sweet. I mean, people look at me and think that's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
I was going to say, and I think that will happen more and more as, you know, as we know more and more. But also, like you say about periods, you said, oh, you know, my period's usually 2 to 3 days. It's this long. I think so many of us don't actually know what's normal. Like, what exactly. is, you know, what are the signs? Like, a longer period means what? A shorter period, what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we just kind of get on with it, or we're on the pill for like 15
since
years.
Since we're 16 years, yeah.
And we have no idea what a normal period is. It's scary. But
even like the pill, like putting hormones into your body with the pill, it's like I came off that about 5-6 years before I got pregnant, which is not advisable, because obviously I didn't want to, you know, hence why I didn't even know if I could get pregnant, because I didn't get pregnant and I wasn't on the pill. Obviously I was careful, but whatever, but I didn't want to put the hormones into my body, which again isn't good advice because people need to be protected. But you know, we're not given any information of what pill should be right for you. Like, I was on one that was contributing potentially towards anxiety that I had and depression, so like hence why I came off it. But I was never told that. It took me to do research and, you know, literally look online, and it was there in black and white, and I was like, oh right, so you should sometimes Google shit, because you know, it can be helpful. But I don't know, I just think like there should be literal classes every week for girls at school about all this stuff, because we are just literally led down the garden path.
Yeah, it would be really interesting as well to get more information at that age that, you know, the pill isn't just your only option. You know, you think about, you're feeding your body, like you said, Jess, with the hormones at that early age. We're obviously doing it to protect our young girls against, you know, teenage pregnancies, but also at the end of the day, unless you're in a serious relationship at that time, you should be able to have the power to be able to say, do you know what, I'm going to use a condom in this situation because I'm not in a relationship, and the rest of the time I'm going to let my body, I don't know, just live in a natural state. Like, what is right, what is not? Do they fit the coil for somebody who's 16 years old?
Yeah, exactly. There are other kind of suggestions, but I think the only way you can find out is if you go to your GP and be like, what are my options? But a lot of girls, you know, they don't know to do that, or they don't. But I just think that there needs to be a lot more spoken about, like for your sister Zoe, like it's devastating, and if only she'd known earlier. Like,
I know. Yeah, and that's why, you know, we I've got two girls, that conversation's going to be had. Georgia, you've got Gigi, you know. Jess, I don't know if you're going again, but if, you know, if there's a little girl in the family at some point, we've got a real responsibility now.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
Let's talk about your pregnancy. So you didn't have the easiest start. How was the rest of it?
God, it was up and down. Hate moaning, because I always feel like I'm like, oh God. But it
you
was
can
just
moan
up
in
and
a safe
down.
Space here, Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the first 10 weeks I was on tour for half of it for Girls Just Want to Have Fun, this show. Well, I was on tour probably for about 3 or 4, I can't even remember now, and I was shattered. But other than that, I was fine. I didn't feel sick. I was fine. Then it got to about 10 weeks, and like all of a sudden, the nausea came, and I was like, "Wow, this is awful. It was like having a hangover. Like, you know, like you just crave hangover food. That's the only way I could describe it. And then later on in the pregnancy, I got the pelvic pain. Wow. Yeah. That is something else. So I went to a local physiotherapist and she like was so good. She really, really helped me. And then it was just the insomnia and the heartburn. So, yeah, it was
just the insomnia and the heartburn.
Just a little bit of insomnia. Now, do you know what, though? I think that insomnia, pregnancy insomnia, is something we haven't spoken about a lot, but yet so many people go through it. And
I think everyone.
But also, it's everyone says to you, oh, make sure you get all your sleep in now before the baby comes. And you're thinking, I can't.
Literally. And you've got like this massive, heavy stomach and it's like you get out of the bed and it's like, oh, you definitely can't get the sleep in at the end of your pregnancy. That's for sure. So really, we're sleep deprived from like 7 months of pregnancy.
Yeah. Did Presley have a full head of hair?
Yes. Jet black
as
well.
So that's the indigestion, isn't it? Because that's the hair growing.
Yeah. He was so active in my womb to the point where we had reduced movement, hence why I was induced. But like now he's such a lively little boy. He's 100 mile per hour 24/7. It's hilarious. And now I'm like, you were doing that in my stomach. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You were busy. Tell us some info about the birth. So tell us like the highs, the lows. How was it?
So I was induced, I think 5 days before I was due. And they basically tried to induce me 5 times, which is how they, like with the gel, the examination thing, which is not pretty. Really hurts. And I had gas and air for that. And I'm the biggest wuss in the world. I'm such a wuss. And so, yeah, they did it 5 times and it just wouldn't, I didn't even dilate half a centimeter. Wow. So he was like, you can either go home and come back or we do an emergency C-section now. Basically, really didn't want to have the C-section because I was like, I've gone this far. I really want to, and I'd done hypnobirthing, so I really, really wanted to go for a natural birth. But in the end, it was almost like he didn't advise me, but indirectly, if it was his wife, he would say, do the C-section, because his point was, if you're not dilating half a centimeter now, it could be because he's in a bit of a dodgy position. And in the end, he was. So thank God we did do the C-section.
Oh, wow.
Which was crazy. I don't know if you guys had, but yeah, the C-section.
We haven't had a C-section, no.
Pretty wild. I think my husband was panicking more than I was, but he's like that. But it was just mad. There's all these people in the room, obviously, and it's quite traumatic, that C-section. And especially because I'd had 48 hours in the hospital trying to be induced and nothing happening. By the time the baby got there, I just think I was all over the place. And I think it probably contributed a little bit towards the postnatal depression, because the minute I stepped in my house, I was in the hospital 5 days in total. And I felt fine. And he was just like this ball of amazingness and just wonderful and sweet. Although his oxygen levels were low when he came out. And so he spent the whole day in an ICU. So I did have that detachment from him, which was horrible. And I kept saying, can I have him back? Like, what's going on? You're telling me he's fine, but you won't let him come back. But they were doing the best they could by him. But I, as a new mother, was just like, give me my child.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, that was all a bit weird. And then the minute I walked through my front door, I just burst into tears. And it was like, being hit by a bus with depression. I don't know why, and again I'm the one moaning about it, and it's like I had a bad pregnancy, my birth wasn't great, and then I've got post-pregnancy
depression. Don't say that, you're not moaning, and I think
it's something that so many people feel. Do you think, and I know what you mean about as soon as you walk home, it's almost like it's reality, you know, when you're in a hospital and you're surrounded by people who know what they're doing, or there's other eyes on the baby, there's other eyes on you, you almost can feel like safe, or like some people do. And then when you get home, you're suddenly like, okay, this is it. This is my life now.
Mm. I think that was the feeling. That really was the feeling. It was, wow, this is my new life, almost mourning my old life, which is so sad, because obviously I'd never change it now for the world, and I didn't want to change it then. But I think I was mourning who I was before and what I had before for this new world that I was clearly scared for and not ready for, because I don't think you can ever be ready for it. And also, I think all the hormones, because it'd been like the fifth day or whatever, the third day, some milk was coming in and all that stuff. And then I was feeding him from the breast, but then feeding in bottles because he'd been in the NICU. So it was just all over the place. And then I couldn't work the bottle machine. So I just collapsed in tears. And my mum was like, and my whole family were there. And then like my dad didn't know how to deal with it. So he was like, what's the matter with her? And it's like, you know, like when it's just like,
cheers, dad.
Yeah.
Wow. Cheers, Big Mark.
Yeah. Well done for that, dad. It was just brilliant. Good timing. But yeah, so it was just crazy. But then after about 4 weeks, it lifted and I just felt completely normal. Thank God.
Let's not skip past those 4 weeks because I think they're going to help a lot of people listening. Were you vocal about how you were feeling to the closest people around you and what was their reaction?
Yeah, I was really scared to say it because obviously I was worried about being judged and also like didn't want to worry anyone. But they just like, I was just on my last nerve. Every move you make is like, am I doing the right thing? And every, I hate babies crying anyway. So if he would cry about, he had reflux, so that wasn't good. And then he had a cow's milk allergy. So he was on 5 different milks. So if I'm honest, it was just a complete roller coaster from the start. It wasn't plain sailing. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I doubt many situations are. But yeah, so I just basically sort of lent on Will and sort of told my mum how I felt and like my friends, and that was it really. I didn't know what to do. You just got to kind of ride that wave, hoping that it will kind of pass, and then take every day as like something new.
I think that way that you just described the feeling of being on your last nerve all the time is such a good way to almost summarize how so many new mums feel, because I know that exact feeling. Same. You're almost on edge the whole time because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know if you're doing anything right. I remember with my first Axel, I would dread him waking up. That sounds so awful, but I just, while he was asleep, I felt like, oh God,
it's so, so true.
And as soon as he'd like sort of just make a little noise, or I'd think, no, please, I don't want you to wake up because I don't want to feed you, and it's all going to go wrong if I feed you, whether that was on the boob or like I'd give him a bottle and he'd just puke it up everywhere. And so you just live in this constant state of like anxiety almost. Yeah,
literally.
George, I love you for sharing that.
Yeah, me too, because honestly, that is exactly I couldn't have put it better myself. And I'm covered in psoriasis at the minute. I don't know if you've seen any of my posts, but I've tried to be vocal about that as well, because there's so many people in that position. But I'm convinced it's because of that anxiety, because now everything's evening out with him. His reflux is a lot better, although it's just taken a bit of a turn for the worse, but we're getting there. And he's on like a dairy-free milk and he's weaning. He's like,
you're
really
on
good.
Neocate.
Yes, he is on the Neocate.
Yeah.
He's on, and anyway, yeah, so you can imagine, it's just like now things are evening out. But even now when he's down for his nap, because I'm like, right, we need to get his naps right because then he'll sleep better in the night and all that stuff. I'm like, I'm doing things in the kitchen, even though there's a sound machine on in his room, I'm like doing things in the kitchen and I'm like putting them down like slightly. And then I'm like, Jess, stop this, because like that's anxiety again. Like I'm constantly living in that. God forbid I wake him up, because I think I've been a bit scarred from what happened in the first few months because of his reflux and the cow's milk allergy. So he was screaming in pain and me going, right, that milk's not working. This milk isn't working. And you have to go to like specialists or your doctor, and then there's no appointments. And as a new mum, I mean, I want to scream to the rooftops about like babies with reflux and cow's milk allergies, like get help immediately and just get to the bottom of it, because you just live in like this state of what's going to happen next, what's happening tomorrow, is he going to scream, is he not going to scream, is he going to be okay on this milk, how long is it going to take till we know if he's okay on this milk, do we have to up the dose of the omeprazole yet, like,
oh my God. So he's exactly the same as Kit. He's on Neocate and omeprazole.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same as Kit. That journey is so savage. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there really isn't very much information, or it's not spoken about the way it is, because we are fed. And this is why I get really angry, because I think the narrative directly after birth is not the correct narrative to tell mums. It's not this,
just
the baby's going to put
hospital.
Their head up and just gonna, you know, the baby's just going to breastfeed and it's going to be this beautiful moment and everything's going to be great. And it's like, it's just sometimes it's fucking bullshit. Mm. It's just not, you're setting us up to fail, because then when it doesn't, those moments of utopia don't happen. You're like, well, hang on, I don't know what to do here, because it's supposed to be blissful and it's not.
Mm. Yeah. And then the worst feeling is when you're trying to put a bottle in their mouth and they're just rejecting it because they're in pain and you don't know what to do. You're like, my son needs to feed and he can't. Like, it's awful. And there's no information. You're sent out of the hospital and they're like, bye. Yeah. Good luck. Like, where's the care for the mothers? Like, we don't get any care
at all. But also the whole thing when you're talking about all the different milks, I think you know, we know that breastfeeding can be quite hard and you hear lots about it. And almost going to bottle feeding is meant to be like the easy route, but it's so not. I mean, I don't know any friends who have literally just given their baby one milk and just it like straight away.
Yeah, it's, well, I do. And it's like,
I do
know girls that have done that and I envy them. And I'm like, wow, like your baby literally is textbook. That's incredible. Yeah. But then at the same time, it's like, I wouldn't change Prezi for the world because he's just got the funniest personality and they're all different and everything. But there's no doubt about it. Everyone has their different paths and mine's not been easy. And clearly you guys, like some people do just have a baby that sleeps through at 12 weeks. I know one that's very close to us. He slept through at 12 weeks. He had a bit of reflux, but went on to a different milk straight away, fine on it. Come off, he's fine now, has no reflux and still sleeps through the night. It's like our journeys couldn't have been more different. Like, and so my experience of first time motherhood couldn't be more different than theirs. And it just is what it is. It's potluck.
Mm. Do you know what though? I don't think you ever come out of it completely unscathed in terms of like the bumps in the road.
And yeah, I'm not, you know, like taking away that it's been difficult either just, for them, because it's just clearly
so,
it's
it has. But it's just so interesting because you think like our lovely agent Kathy, who's just come back off mat leave, she's a new mum now, and her little one's one, and she was like, sorry guys, I can't join in your camp because mine is sleeping straight through the night. And she goes, you can tell me to fuck off if you want. And I was like, fuck you.
Literally.
I was a just you wait mum. I was like, you're not going to come out of this, you know, without something coming along. And that is parenthood. Like, it doesn't help you out in those moments.
I'm not
where
for a second
got,
saying that those
I
people
know,
have
I
it
know,
easy.
Because I totally
tell you now, motherhood is brutal no matter how it comes
but
to you.
But do you know what? If you are having it easy at the moment, I definitely had an easy start with my second Gigi.
Yeah, you like, did.
It was they like a that, dream. It was like a dream. I was thinking, this can't be real. Like, sleeping through the night so early, like, wow, this is amazing. And now she's three. I would take back her not sleeping through the night.
I know. This is what they say as well, isn't it? Like, the bad sleepers at first, good sleepers after, good sleepers at first, bad sleepers after. And then you have one that's, you know, all over the place and one that's perfect plain sailing.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But like I said, you just roll with the punches, don't you? And I always think as well, like, it's character building, it makes you stronger, and it's a learning curve. And I think if I did have a second, when and if, I would be so much more confident this time around and be ready to see those signs. Like, you'd kind of know what you're looking for within reason.
Mm. Yeah, totally. And the reflux thing as well, if it ever happened to you again, like you said, you'd instantly. But how are you supposed to tell the first time round? I mean, it happened to Kit. He was my second. I didn't have a clue what was going on. I thought there was something seriously long-term wrong with him. And he had dairy and eggs. He's grown out of both of them now. So they're
amazing.
Like, there's 100% hope for Presley. How old is he?
He's 6 months on Thursday.
Have you weaned him? How's the weaning process
going?
Yeah,
I started weaning him, and it's really good. He's really good with it, to be fair. He's taken to it really well. He doesn't know how to spit out, which is brilliant. He can't figure out if he doesn't like something to spit
it
out.
He just needs it.
So he just sits with his mouth open, like with the tongue, with the food sitting on his tongue, as if to say, right, take it back out, please. And I'm like, no.
Have you noticed anything to do because of the reflux? Any sort of food groups that he's enjoying or not enjoying?
Well, at the minute I'm doing root veg, because I started to give him some fruit as well, like some baby rice with apple or something.
Yeah.
And I felt like his tummy was a little bit thingy by it, so I've gone straight back to root veg and I'm just sticking with that for the minute. But I'm like, he's having like carrot and swede first thing in the morning. I'm like,
no one wants that when they first wake up, can you imagine? Has sort of keeping up with work made you feel like you? Do you think it's kind of helped you?
Yes, 1,000,000%. Like, I feel like everyone's different, but me personally, I really still want to work and love to work as well as be a mum. I've been so grateful to be so busy. It's been a really busy time. There's been loads of awards and red carpets, hasn't there, Zoe? It's just been mad. Yeah.
I'm in pure hibernation mode now, so I'm just going to let you do all the glamorous red carpet things,
no,
Jess.
I'm with you.
Look, I'm asleep every night at 8 o'clock now.
me and my husband, no joke, we get into bed at like 8:30 every night.
Oh, yeah.
Ditto, we all do. We're in the same camp here.
So
now, obviously, I know your brother really well, but I've never seen him, you know, in that sort of like paternal role, you know, and I'm sure we see posts on Instagram and stuff. Is he loving being uncle to Presley?
Yeah, he's, and baby Josh. So my brother had a baby 3 months before us. And now he loves them. He's obsessed. And the fact that they're boys as well, you can imagine he's in his element. He's like, roughing them up, picks them up, throws them about, and yeah, he's just loves it. He's like FaceTimes me yesterday while he's in the bath. He says, and they're all like, send videos, send pictures. So me and Josh are always sending stuff into the family group of the two of them. So that's, it's so really lovely. Really funny. Yeah,
you've got such a great family there that it feels like, for me, from the outsider's point of view, that it's the whole family getting involved in the process of raising the babies, which is really lovely.
Yeah, you know, we always, everyone's talking about involved.
Takes a village, but yeah, what a lovely thing does. For them to have.
My dad just knocks on the door, like on the willy nilly. He's like, is he asleep? And I'm like, no, he's awake. He comes in, he like holds him, kisses him, plays with him for about 5 minutes, and he's like, all right, I'm off. And I'm like, you never came to see me for 5 minutes.
Not even
before.
A cake.
Exactly.
Just checking in. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Obviously you've given loads of advice throughout this podcast, but what would be the best piece of advice you've been given, or a piece of advice you would give to a new parent listening to this?
I think it's got to be go with your instinct. So many times as a mum, I've thought, I feel the need to do this, and I question it, and you question it, and then I'll do it, and I'll be like, I'm so glad I went with my instinct again. As a mother or a father, I think you just know what your child wants. Well, hopefully most of the time. And so I'd say go with your instinct, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, I'm also one of those people that's like so open to advice on anything and everything to do with my baby. Like, whereas I know that some people can be a little bit like, I know best and I don't want anyone telling me how to be with my child, which I get because everyone's different. But I am the one that's like, tell me, give me advice. Yeah. What's the best way of doing this?
You want to hear all of the advice rather than just some of it.
Absolutely. Literally. Yeah.
I feel like that. I think that's why we love doing this podcast so much, because we like getting loads of different people on with loads of different voices, loads of different ideas. So you can hear it all.
It's like being a mum listening to your podcast is insane, because you hear so many other people in the same position as you, which is always nice. It's like we're not alone.
And also you can figure out what you want to do yourself, so you can get all the opinions, and then you can think, right, okay, that's not for me, this is for me, and kind of create your own path with it.
Or you can take like a snippet of advice from something but not the full thing, and then that will still help you with your little routine or whatever.
Great. And Jess, before we say goodbye, could you just tell us some of the brands and some of the products that you're loving at home for baby and for you?
So in the first few months I used the Tommy Tippy bottle making machine next to the bed, which was a game changer. I've got so many. The Bjorn Borg little bouncer. It looks like such a simple product, but oh my God, he's so happy in there because he's quite a lively baby. He just kicks his little legs and he's, bouncing away. I got the Snoop cot as well, which is quite pricey.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
But amazing for newborns because the first sort of five to six months, because it swings, like it kind of rocks. And then also if they cry, it rocks faster.
Oh wow, amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then that does white noise and it just looks really aesthetically beautiful in the living room. So loved that. Got so many. I use the Dr. Brown's bottles. They really helped with his burping. But I use the MAM teats because I started in on him on MAM and he didn't take to new teats, obviously. God, I've got loads. I want to give you them all because I really think, as well as a new mum, you need to know all this stuff. He loves the Nuck dummies, the little newborn white ones. Also, Newbie do amazing products. Like we take their sterilizer away with us when we go away, their travel sterilizer. Yeah. What else? Vital Baby sterilizer is the sterilizer I actually use at home. Love Mamas and Papas for clothes, as well as My First Years for his clothes, furniture, and like memory boxes and everything else. So yeah,
brilliant. I feel like we could just keep coming to Jess. I might just ring Jess up and be like, what should I get my new mum friend?
Give us a list.
Jess, thank you so much for coming on. We've been dying to have this conversation with you, and
thank you so much for being
so honest always, and keep doing what you're doing on Instagram as well, because I think you're helping lots of people by that sort of like rawness. It's really, really great.
Oh my God, thank you so much. It was so
we
nice
love
to see you.
Thanks, bye, Jess.
Bye.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, me too. I mean, I loved how honest she was. And actually, it's really not like, okay, she talked about her struggles, but it's actually lovely to hear that she's really enjoying it now. Mm. And she's sort of come through the other side. And, you know, everyone's story is different.
I don't know if you felt this from her, but I actually felt a little bit sorry for her in parts, because I felt like she was always having to sort of justify that things were bad for her. And I felt like she was sort of going, you know, I know a lot of people have it really, really bad, but like a baby that has reflux, that severe, let me tell you, is savage. Yeah. And it's okay for her to, you know, come at the podcast and be really, really open and raw and honest about how dreadful it was. And she should be able to feel free to say that. And, you know, like everybody's story is different, like you said, Georgia, but, you know, a baby with reflux, Jesus, you know, that woman needs a lot of hugs off the back of it.
No, absolutely. And I think so often we can feel like we're moaning about, you know, about what's going on. And of course, it's always going to be someone worse off, always, but it doesn't take away from how you're feeling in that moment. Like you can, I mean, I moan about trivial things all the time.
Yep.
And James will be like, oh gosh, like, you know, don't worry about those things. But they feel like big things. And especially when you've just brought a new human into the world.
Yeah.
It's a big task. So yeah, I think it's so important to say all of those things and to honour that you feel like that. And that's, you know, it's absolutely fine. It's so normal.
I feel like she's got a lot of support in her camp as well. Like Jess is one of those girls that she, you know, she's got her family around her. She's got great friends and stuff. And I think she's so likeable. And as I said earlier on, I feel like Jess as a mum is my favourite Jess. So yeah, I can't wait for the story to kind of, because I don't know if she's finished there. Might be another one.
No.
Then we'll get her back on.
Yeah, I know. We're just at the start. Yes. We could have checked one on for ages. So Jess, please come back on.
Yeah, please come back on, Jess. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give the podcast a little follow. And if you know any mums that aren't listening, dads, parents, who aren't listening to the pod, please let them know about it, because we're trying to spread the word a little bit further.
Yes, we would love that. And if you've got any suggestions for guests you'd like to hear from, topics you'd like us to cover, then please do just drop us a DM on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMummies, and we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mummers is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.